Talk Podcast, your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. City to city, state to state, across the state, across the globe. That's right, it is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. The conductor picking up passengers along the way. Interviews, sports-related news, and also outside the box, unsports-related. That's right, it's a new time, it's a new season. Yours truly, Anthony Smith, A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. And that show is getting ready to get started. Let's get this train on the track.
The Coach's Corner is sponsored by The Health Connection, the best choice for alternative medicine and holistic healing. The Health Connection has two locations in Wichita, Kansas, 1709 West Douglas Avenue and 3101 North Rock Road, Suite 170. And they also have a third location at 1001 North Rose Hill Road in Rose Hill, Kansas. Check them out on the web at thehealthconnection.online or give them a call, 316-841-0003. Back to the show. Choo-choo!
Another edition of the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. And, you know, I always say some of my headings, city to city, state to state, coast to coast. Well, there's a reason for that. I say going city to city, state to state, coast to coast, because I am literally doing that. And today is going to be no different. We get closer to the start of football season. Today marks the return of the Coach's Corner. And today I am literally picking up a passenger. And this passenger that I'm picking up really needs no introduction. I'm trying to get him cued in here. And I do believe I hear him in the background. He is
here.
He is a football coach. He coaches in the 8-man division. And I've seen highlights. And to this day, this coach is still part of one. No, not one of. He is part of the highest scoring football game in any division, whether it be 8-man, 6-man, 11-man. The highest scoring output. And he can tell you, he was probably drenched in sweat after that game. But my guest today on the return of the Coach's Corner, none other, all the way from Oswego, Kansas, my friend, Matt Fowler.
Yes, sir. Good to be on again.
Man. A lot has happened. I've even upgraded. When I say upgraded my equipment, it was called upgrade your software. I had to go to what's called a wave pad because recording, sometimes the episodes wouldn't get recorded. I'm like, did all that hard work for nothing? But I'm like, okay. You know how they say there's always more than one way to skin a cat. So you know what? We're going to keep it PG and PC.
There you go.
Anyway, Coach, how's things been going since the last time we connected?
Well, things have been good. Had a good summer. Got to spend a lot of time with my family and, you know, have had summer workouts and stuff like that going on with the team. But really treasure the summer just because of the time I get to spend at home with the family. We've taken some trips and, you know, feeling pretty refreshed. And now we're kind of trying to lock everything in and get ready for the school year and the season to start.
Absolutely. Now, recap us on last year on how things went for you. I know there were some improvements. You had some key players back, and then we will move forward and look forward to the upcoming season. So how did last season end for you?
2 years ago, we had some real factors that kind of hit outside our control. In the 21 season, we had some co you know COVID was a big part of that season. We had some quarantines, we had some injuries, and so we were coming off of kind of a disappointing year, but one in which that we had a lot of outside factors, I feel like, that were working against us. We had some really close losses, and the two most heartbreaking losses that we suffered were the big shootout game with Marmaton Valley, where, like you referenced earlier, they beat us 106 to 98. And I was indeed drenched with sweat after that one. It was a warm night, and the action stayed warm the whole night too. And then we lost to St. Paul, with on a touchdown right at the end of the game with just 4 seconds left, something like that. So last year we opened up the season playing those two teams back to back right out the gate. So our two most heartbreaking losses, and we were able to win both of those games this past year. So that really, set the tone. Flipping the script on those two games really kind of got us going in the right direction. We played against, so we started off 2-0, with two really solid wins against two good teams, Marmaton Valley and St. Paul, and then we lost to Colony Crest, who had a great football team. They were loaded with seniors, had some really nice players, and they beat us pretty good. And then we went to we were supposed to play Yates Center. They had to forfeit due to not having enough players, and that's something that unfortunately has happened to us, more than once over the last few years. As a matter of fact, over the last 4 years, we've missed out on playing four home games because of opponents not having enough players to play. So that's been tough. Then we went to Sedan, and Sedan has, they have a great team. Coach Mick Holt does a great job over there. And in the years that I had spent at Oswego, Sedan was one of the teams we regularly played that we had not beat. And we had a classic game with them. We ended up winning that one by 4, 52-48. Followed that up with a win against Flint Hills. We then played for the district championship against West Elk, and they had a really strong team. And again, Coach Hegg over there does a great job. They beat us. And then we went back home and beat Cedar Vale Dexter, which set up so we were the runner up in our district. We finished with a 6-2 regular season record, and so that allowed us to host a playoff game against Madison, who is another perennial power in eight man football. And we played a really good game against Madison. They beat us 56-32. But I felt like we finished the season strong. Like I've told you before, an eight-man football game that finishes up, with a 30-point margin or less was a really good ball game for most of it. It's just a team will separate quickly, usually in the second half. If you see, you see so many games that end with a 45-point margin that even those, that game might have been tied at the end of the first quarter. It's just you can score so quickly and things can get away so fast. But yeah, if you see a game that was decided by 30 points or fewer, that probably, entered into the fourth quarter as a very competitive game, usually what I say.
Absolutely. So last season would be deemed pretty much, I want to say almost as a successful season compared to the season before, and the fact that you had a couple of revenge games and you got those back. So you got that nasty taste out of your mouth. So the next step I would like to refer to, based on the process that's been taking place, now it's about getting over the hump. What do you have coming back for this year? What can we look forward to this season coming from your team?
Well, we've got, as far as our kids coming back, we will have a relatively young team. We'll have three seniors this year, and they're good ones. One of them is a kicker for us, and he's the best kicker I've ever had. Field goals and extra points are rare in the eight man game, but we have a kicker, Ty Walker, that we have kicked. He has made, a field goal, several extra points, and he kicks touchbacks, which is a big weapon, in the eight man game, because touchbacks, since the field's only 80 yards long, touchbacks give you the ball at the 15. So little bit of a rule change there from 11 man, but it makes it, you know, defense is hard in 8 man, but starting on a long, you know, putting your opponent pinned back in poor field position is a big part of that.
Right.
I've got Patrick Doyle, who's you know, is the biggest player on our team. He'll be our nose, and David Figuera, who's a you know, a tight end. So those are our three seniors. We have a big freshman class coming in, about 9 or 10 of them. We've got a solid junior class, and this is where most of our returning starters are going to come from, is that junior class. One of the things I feel really good about is our line on both sides of the ball, pretty much all returns. So our three interior linemen, the center and both guards, and then on defense, the nose and both defensive ends are all returning starters. So up front, you know, since we're going to be, you know, breaking in some new backs for the most part, we've got Hunter Kelly back, who, you know, was a really good running back for us last year, and he's a junior. He's going to carry more of the load this year, and then we've got a sophomore that will step in and play our you know, our fullback slash quarterback type spot. He'll do a real good job there, which is Owen Jackson. And then Josh Hutchinson will be the other back in the backfield for us. So, you know, we've got some guys that haven't started a lot in the backfield for us, but we have an experienced line up front mm-hmm. for them. So that's usually, you know, a good combination. If you're going to have younger backs, at least you want to have a line that knows what they're doing.
Right.
You know, so I feel real good about that. Our tight ends, you know, our tight end slash receiver type guys, a couple of sophomores that will be newer starters. And so, you know, a mix of experience right up front and kind of some youth, you know, in the backfield mm-hmm. and the back end on defense. So our guys up front should definitely be a strength for us and hopefully allow those other guys to kind of find their footing as the year goes on.
Absolutely. And that you said a key thing, because even as I was doing some of my college football preview, one of the things I noticed, it says that the line is experienced, and it will help ease the transition of, you know, even if you have or don't have an experienced quarterback, you still got those young guys in the back. It will help ease the transition while, like in some cases, even some Power 5 schools, they are transitioning quarterbacks, but they say having that experienced line will actually help. So it sounds like you have just reinforced that thought process. Even at the 8-man division, if you have a good offensive line, it will give your inexperienced guys in the backfield a little chance to grow. And by time mid-season and beyond hits round, then you're clicking almost on all cylinders. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Well, that's definitely our plan this year.
Well, I have no reason to believe that plan won't work. If it'll work at the Power 5, it will work in Oswego, Kansas, in 8-man football as well. So I tell you what I'm gonna do right here. I'm gonna take a pause, and when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the 8-man division. Who are the teams to look out for? I know it's kind of hard to do because you're the coach of your team, and I know you want to say your team is going to be one that comes out on top, and that's be natural to say that. As the old saying goes, it's a poor frog that won't praises on pond, but you're my 8-man guru. So when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to take a look at the 8-man outlook on A-Train Sports Talk Podcast after a word from my sponsor. Don't y'all go nowhere. The train is just now building up steam and picking up passengers. Drink to Shrink. It has 9 powerful herbs: persimmon leaves, holy thistle, malva leaves, marshmallow leaves, blessed thistle, papaya, ginger, chamomile, and myrrh. It cleanses the upper and lower intestines, kidney, colons, lungs, and even the largest organ on our body. It cleanses our skin. Did you know the average person loses 5 pounds in 5 days? Our bodies can hold up to 25 pounds of waste. Most diseases known to man starts in the gut. How does it taste? That all depends on your preference. For more information, contact Anthony Smith at 316-553-2010, or you can go to his website at www.beepic.com/saxmanhelp. That's www.beepic.com/saxmanhelp. And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome back to my next segment. And there's a young man on the phone who is very trustworthy because I do not have a license to operate a locomotive, and he has decided to hop on board with me. And as I always say, city to city, state to state, coast to coast, and we are camping out in the great town. And I can say that because I've been there, so I'm not just saying it because I know him, but I'm saying it because I actually used to go through there and make a pit stop there in Oswego, Kansas, Coach Matt Fowler. And Coach, you know, since I don't say the nickname of your football team often enough, I have to always ask you, what is the name of your team?
We're the Indians.
The Indians. All right. The Oswego Indians, which play eight-man football. It's an exciting brand of football. I've seen video clips of eight-man football. And I'll tell you this. I went to indoor football games, and this is an exciting brand of football. But the videos I've seen, eight-man football, I'm telling you, it makes you want to go out and see it in person. And the time I was supposed to go, I had some other prior obligations, but I'm hoping to get my calendar clear so I can witness, because using a term that they use for a speedway where they have races at, they said, we'll save you a seat, but you only need the edge. I think that moniker fits very well with eight-man football, and the guy on the phone will agree with me wholeheartedly. So, Coach, let's take a look at the eight-man division. Who are some of the teams to look out for?
Okay, well, you know, first of all, I always like to explain, because not everybody's, very familiar with it. There, you know, just how many schools there are in Kansas that plays eight man. To my knowledge, Kansas is the state that has the most eight man playing schools in it. And a lot of these have, you know, every year a few 11 man schools that kind of get smaller will trickle down and decide to play eight man. Some of the eight man schools, like we were just talking about a little bit ago, you know, trickling down into six man even. Here's what we have currently heading into this season. The six man division has 26 schools currently. And then there are actually, there's two eight-man divisions, and there are 90 total schools this year in Kansas that are registered to play eight-man football. So they set up two different classifications, because one classification of 90 would be too large. So the eight-man division two, these are the smaller schools. These get numbered by your 9th, 10th, and 11th grade students. And if that number is 100 or less, then you have a choice to play 8-man or to play 11-man. So these 8-man 2 schools, their range in the 3-grade count goes from 34 students to 66. And in Division One, it goes from 67 to 99, because, like I said, 100 would be the largest you could be in that three-grade count. The interesting thing about this, and the reason I point this out to you here, is that the smallest eight-man Division II school, which is Axtell, so this is the smallest school that plays eight-man football, period, in the state, is a back-to-back defending state champion in eight-man Division II. So and their three-grade count is 36. I think their high school, I do believe, because they were at the state track meet, and they won the state track meet in 1A. And this is an incredible stat right here. The announcer at the state track meet was talking about how Axtell had 44 students total in their high school, and they had 11 qualify for state track. How about that? One-fourth of the school qualified for the state track meet. So, you know, they have athletes. I mean, that was boys and girls. That, you know, 11 total kids.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That deserves an applause right there.
No kidding. No kidding. So, yeah, so these guys are back-to-back defending state champs. I would imagine that in eight-man Division II, they would be the favorite also. You know, the king's the king till you knock them off the throne. So, right. I would imagine Axtell, you know, being very strong. Some other teams that would – I'm on my computer too. Let me pull up in Division II kind of the districts and their situations. Lebo should have a strong team. We actually face them in the Jamboree. We get to scrimmage them right off the bat, and they're usually very strong. And I think they've got some good pieces coming back. Canton Galva has been, you know, a dominant team in both eight-man Division One and Division Two. As a matter of fact, last year, Canton Galva and Axtell met in the semifinals, and it was just a great football game, a classic game where Axtell beat Canton Galva 36-32. So, you know, I talked about it's tough to play defense in eight-man football, a game that's in the 40s or 30s, that's a defensive battle in eight-man. You know, so those two teams, you know, played each other extremely well. So I'd imagine, along with Axtell, you know, being back again, I imagine Canton Galva will too. And then Hanover is a name that you always have to mention. You know, they've been, you know, for them, down a little bit here recently. But before Axtell kind of took over, Hanover set the record for most consecutive wins in eight-man football history. And you know, they've won several state titles, and, you know, they will probably be back as well. Osborne, another team in Division II that is very strong. They went 9-2 last year. They have a tremendous head coach in Steve Tiernan, who's won multiple titles as well. And, you know, I know that they have a lot of speed coming back as I talk to him. You know, we have a eight-man coaches clinic every year in Salina. And the coaches all get together, and of course we talk about what we'll have coming back. And I know Coach Tiernan really liked his team at Osborne. So those would be the eight-man two East contenders. I think probably at the top of the list, you've got Lebo, Canton Galva, Axtell, Hanover, and Osborne. On the west side of Division II, Victoria, you know, again, another tremendous coach out there, Doug Oberle. They went 10-1 last year, and they ended up losing in the playoffs to Thunder Ridge, who made it to the state title game, and that's who Axtell beat for the title. Okay. So that was their only loss last year, was to the state runner-up. They're always in the mix. Thunder Ridge, like I said, they were state runner-up last year. You know, they'll be there. Another team that, you know, it's kind of been fun to watch them on the rise is Stafford. And I actually student taught at Stafford and helped as an assistant coach there 1 year. They've got a young coach, Mitch Engelken is his name, and he is very intelligent. You know, I mentioned Steve Tiernan and Osborne earlier. Mitch actually played for Tiernan when he was the coach at Baileyville B&B, and he's a tremendous coach in his own right. He took Stafford to an 8-1 record last year. I think they had, you know, quite a few young guys too. So Stafford be a team to look for again. And then Dighton, you know, would be another one I think will be really good. They went 11-1 last year, you know, so they were, you know, they made it to the state semifinals and fell only to Thunder Ridge, you know, who was a state runner up. So Dighton, I think, will be strong again. You know, their coach is Ken Simon, a good friend of mine. And, you know, he has been you talk about some of the trials and tribulations of an 8-man coach. This man, I think it was the year 2018 or 19. I think it was 18. He had a team at Dighton where he had 9 boys out for football. 9.
Wow.
He had one sub, and he took them to the state semifinals, undefeated to the state semifinals. They call him the Dighton 9.
Dighton 9. I'm going to look that up for sure.
Yeah. He does the best job with small numbers of anybody that I know. So, that would be my 8-man Division II roundup. So then I can talk about Division I, unless you had something to comment on that.
I was just going to say about that Dighton 9, you said he could do a lot with the few. That just reminds me of that biblical passage about the Gideon's army when they had too many. And the good Lord said, you need to trim down. All right, now you're good to go to war. So all he needs is just a few good men, and he's going to war.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I've heard him, talk to other coaches about how they practice with low numbers. Now he's got better numbers now. I think last year they had closer to 20 kids out. So, I mean, for him, if he's got a squad to scrimmage against, I mean, that's a big deal for him. But he's made it work without it. I mean, he does an incredible job. I mean, and he does an incredible job with, obviously, with hydration and nutrition and stuff like that. Because, you know, you talk about a kid gets a cramp. That's a big deal if you only got 9 guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have time to get another guy in there.
Right.
So that would be my 8-man 2 roundup. Now, 8-man Division 1. The team that is the defending state champ would be Leota Wichita County. And, they went 13-0 last year. They faced Little River in the title game, which Little River, you know, has been to the state championship game the last 3 years in a row. And, you know, they won it. They won it a couple years ago. And then they've been runner up twice in a row. Yeah, that's how it's been for them. So, I would figure those two would be very strong, but I'll go through the districts again, you know, talking about kind of the teams to look for as contenders. Mm-hmm. 8-man Division 1, District 1, which is a district in which we reside, and since I talked about my own team, I'll refrain from talking about them in this segment. West Elk will have a tremendous team. Again, we faced them in the district title game last year. And they went 8-1, lost to a good Linden team in the playoffs. They had, you talk about numbers, they had close to 40 kids out, West Elk did, and returned most of it. They got a tremendous running back named Creo Coop, and he will just be a junior. And, man, he is fast, and, you know, and Chris Hegg is the head coach there. He's been there a really long time, and he is a really great man, not just a great coach. He's a great man. His son's playing quarterback for him and is a junior, so I know they're having a lot of fun over there. I would expect them to be, you know, a good contender out of the East, and definitely the team to beat out of our district for sure. Sedan will, you know, as far as our district goes, Sedan will also be, you know, a very solid team as well. District 2 has been, you know, one of the strongest districts, which is the one next to us. So the way this works is when you make the playoffs, the districts, you know, you cross over. So District 1's first place plays District 2's fourth place, you know, District 1's second place plays District 2's third, and so forth is how the playoffs work. So our neighbor district is extremely tough. Last year, Chase County won that district on a tiebreaker because Burlingame had the same record as them. So Chase County, Burlingame were both very strong. But the team that I keep hearing about over there, you know, Madison was very good. Madison beat us, you know, and went on. But the team I keep hearing about out of that district was actually their team that finished in fourth place. Now think about this: fourth place in the district, but finished 8-3 overall. And they actually beat West Elk in the playoffs. So their number 4 team beat our district champ in the first round of the playoffs in a good game, the Linden Tigers. And they are a team that, you know, last year was their first year in 8-man. They had a tremendous season, and they have a lot of guys coming back from what I hear. A lot of people are talking about them as, you know, possibly a team that could really, really challenge on the Eastern side. A lot of people are very, very high on Linden.
Okay.
And then in District 3, South Sumner County, which that's a cooperative between Caldwell and South Haven. And Caldwell has been strong, you know, for a long time. Sean Blosser's the head coach there, does a great job with them. They went 9-1 last year, so I would expect them to be strong again. Wichita Independent is in that district as well. And I guess I have to give them a shout out a little bit because they're my wife's alma mater. But they went 8-2 and had a good year. I saw them on film some. They do a good job with the passing game. They're kind of fun to watch because they kind of do some different stuff. Sometimes when you get those schools that have played 11 man for a while, they come down into 8 man, they kind of have some different ideas. You know, I'd say the same thing is true of Linden. You know, they do some neat stuff. So that's who I would say out of District 3. So we're still on the eastern half of the state, and we finally come to Little River. You know, who I said is a complete powerhouse. You know, 3 years in a row they've been in the state title game. Kevin Ayers is their head coach, who is arguably, you know, one of the greatest 8-man coaches of all time. He's a great man. He has mentored me a lot. He has won state titles with 3 different schools. He won 2 state titles with Jetmore in the early 2000s. He won a state title with Wallace County, Sharon Springs, in the mid 2000s, and then he won one with Little River, you know, 3 seasons ago. So he's won titles at 3 different schools. He actually, when he started his career, he was the fastest coach in Kansas high school football history to get to 100 wins.
Wow.
So he's an amazing man. He's a better man than he is coach, and he's one of the best all time.
Absolutely.
I don't think you have to worry about Little River falling off the map. They've always got athletes, and they've got tremendous coaching over there. So every time it seems like you could count them out, they come back with another group that reloads.
Absolutely.
You know, so Little River will definitely be a contender on the east side.
Okay. I tell you what I'm going to do right here, because we're past that 10-minute mark. So I know we got a little bit more to go. So let's take a pause right here so we don't have a too large of a file, and then we'll come back and wrap it up with the rest of the division and eastern and western side. All right.
Perfect.
Be right back on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Need a haircut? You like me. Go to 256 North Topeka, Midtown Barbershop. 2 seasoned veteran barbers on duty, Malcolm and Tony. Whatever you need done, they can do it. You may walk in one way, but by the time they get through, you'll walk out looking like brand new money. That's at Midtown Barbershop in the heart of the city. With the city at heart. Tony and Malcolm, Midtown Barbershop. Tell them the A-Train sent you. And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome back into the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, and I'm telling you, I'm having a blast. I assume my guest is having an equally amount of blast as I am. I mean, you're talking about all this information. If he's not coaching, I can guarantee you his next endeavor would be something like what I'm doing, and would probably do it better than I am. I could just see him podcasting and having his own show called the 8-Man Daily or the 8-Man it'll be 8-Man something. And I believe he's the 8-Man guru, but he's going to be humble and tell me there's somebody to know more about it than he does. But until he leads me in that direction where there might be someone to know more about it than do, he's the 8-Man guru. Matt Fowler, welcome back for another segment.
Yeah, hey, having a lot of fun. Hey, while we're at it, before I continue back in there, you talk about that. If anybody's interested in watching some of the greatest eight-man football games over the years, kind of collecting a history, I have a good friend of mine, Julian Armendi's his name. He has a YouTube channel called Eight Man O' War. Eight Man O' War YouTube channel. And he posts some of the all-time classic. You can watch several of the state championship games on there. Now, most of the content is 10 years old or further back because, he doesn't want to be giving away everybody's game films, that you could study from and learn whatever what they're doing now. But anyways, if you're an eight man fan or you want to watch some of the best Kansas eight man games that have ever been played, Eight Man of War is his YouTube channel, and it's got some tremendous content.
Absolutely.
So going back to it, we were talking about the eastern side of the state in eight-man Division One. To recap, I talked about West Elk being a contender, talked about a slew of contenders from District Two, Chase County, Burlingame, Madison. I talked about a lot of people been talking about Linden, as a major contender there. We talked about South Sumner County down there in District Three, and I finished up talking about Little River in District Four, who's, been to the state title game the last 3 years and, definitely aren't going anywhere. A couple of teams in that district that, could challenge though are Mound Ridge and Gosel. Mound Ridge, their head coach has actually been an assistant at Canton Galva for the last, well, for several years, Tyler O'Connor. And he actually played for Coach Ayers, Little River's head coach. So that'll be an interesting matchup, coach versus former player. When they go at it,
Yeah.
and Gosel's always a strong team. They made it to the semifinals a couple years ago. And so that makes up the eastern side of the state. On the west side, like I said, the state champion came from this side, but looking through the districts here, Clifton Clyde with Russ Steinbrock, a great coach. They went 7-2 last year. They're always a strong power football team, and they're always tough, hanging in there late. Hill City out of District 6, they went 10-2, very, very good team. So did, Atwoods Rawlins County had a good year, and so did Hoxie. Lance Barr at Hoxie, another coach that has won a state title, does a tremendous job there. Probably comes down to Hill City and Hoxie in that district, I would imagine. District 7, is pretty wide open, I think. Last year, Maxville, kind of ran through it pretty good. They went 9-1, but I think that's a district where there could be a lot of close games. That's got Maxville, Waukini-Trego, Ness City, La Crosse, Pratt Skyline, and Greensburg, Kiowa County in there. I think there could be some movement there, but Maxville, I think, still probably looks like the team to beat there. And then in District 8, you have the last you have two of the last two state champions in eight man Division One are both in District 8, which is Leota Wichita County, who I just talked about. They've been in the state title game 2 of the last 3 years, and the one they weren't in, Meade, won the state title. So those two teams kind of would be the favorites there. To recap that, on the west side of the state, the teams we highlighted, Clifton Clyde, Hill City and Hoxie, maybe Rawlins County in the mix there, Maxville, and then Leota and Meade, should have some really good matchups, even through the season. 'Cause you think about that, if they're in the same district, that means Leota and Meade play each other, in the regular season, and then, which they did last year, and then turn around and possibly meet again in the playoffs, but you don't know how it's necessarily going to work out.
Right.
Hill City, I know, again, has a lot of talent, coming back, well coached. Should be a fun year. And, with all, as in anything, but especially in the eight man game, we make these predictions, we talk about these teams, and we often say we're an injury away from, from things looking really different too.
Right.
So
Right.
you hope and pray that that doesn't happen, and that everybody can play the year full strength as they're supposed to. But there definitely are factors that affect smaller schools probably quicker than they would the bigger schools.
Absolutely. So what Now, I know you've done this before, but just for the sake of it, I want to, for the listeners that have never heard anything about 8-man, what is the average roster size of an 8-man roster, and what are the dimensions of the field?
Well, you know, again, so as far as roster goes, the only thing that classifies you as an 8-man school is your enrollment. So, you know, it can fluctuate. Like I said, we had the Dighton 9 a few years back that were a contender, and then, you know, we've had West Elk this last year that had, you know, upper 30s out, 38 kids or something like that. I would say a nice size is usually, you know, 24, 25. Most people are going to be happy with that. That's probably the case in most 8-man Division 1s. In Division 2, it's probably more like 16 to 18 is probably the common size that you would have out. But again, it fluctuates so much too, because you count total students, and, you know, you might have a class that has, you know, more boys in it. You might have a class that has more girls in it. You know, you just don't know how that's going to work out. The field dimensions, the field is 80 yards long. And then the width of it is 40 yards wide, you know, which is, you know, about 13 yards more narrow than what an 11-man field is, and 20 yards shorter, you know, on the field of play. So you really notice the width, I think, first. I think, you know, a lot of people would think you would notice the length. I actually think when you step onto the field, that's when you notice, I think you notice the width first, just how close the other sideline is to you, mm-hmm. you know, how it, which it needs to be that way, because, you know, a lot of times we'll play junior high games against teams that their high school plays 11 man, but because of numbers, their junior high will play 8-man. Mm-hmm. And when you play 8-man on an 11-man field with those less guys on the field, I mean, you think about it, you take three guys away from each team, that's six less bodies on the field. And when people are running to the edge onto the sideline, it's really hard to catch them. I mean,
yeah.
That's why the field needs to be more narrow, you know, to account for the less bodies, to make it a little bit more fair defensively.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, it was good catching up with you on a Saturday. And we'll be doing this probably as often as we can throughout the season. I have some other coaches I know I have to catch up with, some 11-man coaches, but this 8-man, I am very intrigued about. And I guess the reason I'm so intrigued, until I actually get to sit down and witness one in person, I'm going to always be intrigued, because watching it on YouTube or watching video clips is one thing, but I want to see it in person. Like I say, you can save me a seat, but I'm only going to need the edge. Even if that, I just might stand up the whole time, maybe get a press pass and come sit on the sideline, stand on the sideline, maybe. Just a little side.
Absolutely.
But once again, I want to say I appreciate you for jumping on here with me and making this show what it was today. So until the next time, I want to say good luck to the Oswego Indians. I got that name right.
Yes, sir.
And let them know.
Hey, always appreciate you, Anthony. Always appreciate you,
and let them know that there is a new tribal chief in 8-man football, the Oswego Indians. Until next time, take care of yourself, all right?
All right, you too. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Once again, my good friend and guest, Matt Fowler. Well, I am going to take a break. And when I come back, I will have some more for you, so don't you dare go nowhere. Train is just now building up some steam. It's the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Your host and your conductor, Anthony Smith.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P Seed and Bait, is fully stocked for all your pet needs. We carry Victor, Bully Max, Diamond Value Pack, and many more brands. In addition, we carry collars, chains, and any pet supplies you may need, including grooming supplies and dog shots. Make sure to like us on social media. Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome to another segment of the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, and I can't say thank you enough to Matt Fowler joining me for not one, not two, but three segments pretty much. And we got a lot of insight on eight-man football across the state of Kansas. So I definitely got to give it up to Coach Matt Fowler, head coach of the Oswego, I think he said Indians, I do believe, out there in Oswego, Kansas. I know where it's at. I know how to get there. I've driven a time or two, so I know exactly where Oswego, Kansas is. And Matt Fowler, good friend of mine, he was part of the highest scoring high school game in football in the state of Kansas, regardless of what level, whether it was 11-man, 8-man, and now 6-man. I believe the score was like 102-98, something like that. It was a high-scoring affair, but it is in the Kansas record books. Unfortunately, he was on the wrong side of it, but nonetheless, still part of a record-breaking performance. So, once again, very special thanks to Coach Matt Fowler. And if y'all notice in listening to the interview with him, I also threw some things out there. You know, they have their coaching clinic where, you know, where they're learning different schemes and everything. But I am hopeful that one day I can meet up with some of these coaches and we can have what would be the resemblance of what would be called Media Day. Just another way of shedding light on eight-man football throughout the state of Kansas. I believe that would be something, and I believe that in talking with Coach Matt Fowler, and I'm pretty sure some of the people that he would talk to, I believe that can be a reality. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm looking for sponsors right now, because as the high school football season is upon us, you know, each and every Saturday, I do my best to give you the scoring recap. So if anybody wants to sponsor that segment, I will leave you my, email in the description box of this podcast. Let me get it right here. If you want to sponsor a segment, it's only $4.99 to sponsor. If you want to have a commercial ran, which means every time I run a podcast, your commercial will get played, commercials are only $9.99 a month. You could pay it on a monthly basis. There is a support link you could pay, or you can cash app me. You can pay it all at one time. So whatever you want to do, it's all about me helping each and every one of you who decide you want to advertise on this podcast. So, and it's a way for all of us to grow. As people learn more about my podcast, they also learn more about those of you out there who may have little mom and pop shops or you just want to advertise. So let's help each other. That's what it's all about. It's not just about me, but it's about helping others as well too. So speaking of coaches, there was an article that came out this past week, and College Football Insider predicts possible Colorado departure for Deion Sanders after 2024 season. And I definitely want your feedback on this one. Deion Sanders has already brought a great deal of hype to the Colorado football program as he heads into his first season as head coach of the Buffaloes. But according to college football insider Bruce Feldman, the coach prime hype could be on its way out sooner rather than later. During a recent appearance on the Rich Eisen show, Feldman said he wouldn't be surprised if Sanders leaves Colorado after the 2024 season. 2 years from now, after the 2024 season, I would not be surprised if Deion Sanders is not the head coach at Colorado, Feldman said. I just don't think that he is going to be there that long. If things go well for Colorado over the next couple of seasons, Feldman believes Sanders will move on to a bigger program. If things go poorly, he feels Sanders could be on his way out for the opposite reason. It'll either go really well. They were horrible before, Feldman continued, so he goes from one win last year to maybe 4 or 5 this year, and then maybe 8 or 9. Then I think he goes to a bigger school. Or it will not work out at all, and they will be at odds. I think there's a lot of stuff that has potential to create a lot of friction. If it doesn't go great, then I think they'll go in a different direction. Colorado will kick off its regular season with a week one matchup against TCU on September the 2nd. So that's what Bruce Feldman thinks about Deion Sanders. He thinks that he won't be there that long. My question is, what do you think? Speaking of Sanders and Colorado, as you know, they're headed to the Big 12. So I tend to think that he may be there just a little bit longer than what Bruce Feldman is saying. But hey, I'm just a guy that's podcasting, talking against what someone in the national media says. Maybe they know more than I do. Maybe they don't. But Colorado's Shadur Sanders, a Tier 4 signal caller, says analyst. Colorado quarterback Shadur Sanders was listed as a Tier 4 signal caller by Mike Farrell of Mike Farrell Sports. One spot ahead of Georgia Tech to Nebraska transfer Jeff Sims, two spots ahead of Michigan State to Auburn transfer Peyton Thorne, and one spot behind Mountain West veteran Siobhan Cordero, who spent his first 4 seasons in Hawaii and is entering his second season with San Jose State. Sanders, a transfer who, unlike Sims and Thorne, has never played a Power 5 schedule, has one of the toughest schedules in the nation ahead of him. If he can get enough protection from an overhauled offensive line, transfers from his and his father, Deion Sanders' last school, Jackson State, new offensive line coach Bill O'Boyle, last school, Kent State, the JUCO ranks, other assorted group of 5 schools, and those who survived the Coach Prime transfer portal challenge from last year's Buffaloes, Shadur can be a surprise producer in CU's final season in the Pac-12. The Big 12 looking to add one more program following Colorado Football Edition. When the Buffaloes, now Big 12 bound, Brett Yormack reportedly wants to bring on one more school to give his conference an even and misleading 14 teams, according to CBS Sports' Dean Straka. It is believed the Big 12 has been considering further expansion, not only making overtures to the other Pac-12 programs, but also basketball powerhouses like UConn and Gonzaga. Straka prefaced before saying league commissioner Brett Yormack confirmed at Big 12 Media Days earlier this month that he would prefer to remain at 14 teams, which would require the addition of 2 schools after the Longhorns and Sooners depart, the Buffaloes in another program. Sanders reportedly has an interest in expanding CU's recruiting footprint into places like Texas and Florida, per Straka.
Multiple sources tell CBS Sports that Sanders supports a move to the Big 12 because the fertile recruiting ground of Florida and Texas, both in the Big 12 footprint, would open even further for the Buffs, Stracker wrote. Sanders having the foresight to want the recruiting benefits the Big 12 offers is a sign that Ferrell's take that Coach Prime will be gone from Boulder in 2 years could grow colder than a December night in Denver. So here's another person thinking that maybe Deion is only there 2 years. I'm going to say that I tend to disagree with that assessment. I think this is just a way of having the people in Boulder on pins and needles, on edge. I'll say at most 5 years. He at least gets to coach out his contract. And I believe he has a 4-year deal. So I think at best he coaches out his contract. Then they reevaluate whether, you know, to extend him, or if the program isn't going in the direction they think is going, then that's when you decide maybe we part ways. So I'll say that he coaches out his contract. Like I say, I'm not no guy in the national media, but me personally speaking, I think he coaches out his contract. I know he's going to be there until his son leaves. That's a given. So, and I'm talking about Shadur. He got other sons that are playing as well, too. But most definitely, he's there for the duration when Shadur is there. And I don't think that he goes out and try to stockpile skilled position players and looking to revamp his offensive line if he only plans on being there only 2 years. I just don't think that happens. So, yes, like I say, I'm just a guy on the podcast speaking my mind, speaking what I believe. These are two guys that have said they don't see Sanders being there past 2 years, but yet he supports the move to the Big 12 because of the fertile recruiting ground, which is in Texas and in Florida. And I don't see one of the other Power 5 jobs opening up and opening they having their arms outstretched to say, welcome Deion. I don't see none of the Florida schools doing that unless they happen to just fall off the face of the earth and depend on what's going on in Colorado. But I think Deion wants to build this Colorado school up, this program up, to where he can just walk into any home and say, my name is Deion, my program is Colorado, and this is where we're at on the national scene. I believe that what Deion is going to do at Colorado is going to be almost reminiscent to what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State. And with his name alone and the fact that he can hit that portal and can bring in skilled players because they want to play for Deion, I believe Colorado is going to be a national player on the football scene. So, regardless of what others are saying, I'm sticking to my guns. I say the man coaches out the duration of his contract. Anyway, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring this train into the station. I think I've given enough for right now. Once again, special thanks to Coach Matthew Fowler out there in Oswego, Kansas. Coach of the Oswego Indians, 8-man football. Thank him for all the insight that he gave. That way you'll know a little bit more about the 8-man football game, the type of field it's played on, the rules, and who are some of the teams to look out for in 8-man football. Couldn't have had this show what it was without Coach Matthew Fowler. So once again, let's applaud him. Until the next time, though, take care of yourself and each other. This is the A-Train, pulling this train back into the station. I'm out.